Welcome back, Jobber Nation. Welcome to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast with myself, Vogel, and with me, as always, is the face who runs the place, Tyler Face. Welcome
back. What's up, y'all?
How's the week gone for you since we've last recorded?
It's been busy. Busy. Oh,
yeah, I mean, trying to fit in, you know, everyday life and all this wrestling content, trying to keep up with everything with that. Trying to keep up
if it's on, I try to watch
other thing. Yeah, well, it's been crazy because, you know, I'm a big international, well, I guess you could say European football fan, and they were on international break this week, so I was trying to catch as many international games as I possibly can, and along with wrestling, and it's been kind of hard, you know, and work on top of that, and then, you know, trying to figure out shit. So yeah, it's been everything.
What about them Detroit Lions, man?
Oh yeah,
I know we don't talk about much about football, but
It's been definitely a shock. Everybody around here in the Michigan area has been buzzing about them, so they've been doing good. So they have like the best record in like what, the past 13 games or something like that. So
yeah, they're definitely
turning it around big time. I guess we should start by getting into some of the action that we missed last week, which was Friday Night SmackDown.
Yeah, let's go.
It just came out about an hour and a half after we recorded last week's episode. So, SmackDown opened up in a way that I didn't quite expect that it was going to open up. I honestly expected that the big GM announcement with Nick Aldis was going to open up the show. But unfortunately, we get a shot of CM Punk. Wow, we're jumping ahead of schedule here. We got a shot of John Cena opening up SmackDown and building up a storyline for LA Knight versus Roman Reigns with Roman Reigns returning.
I think that's bloodline. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I honestly, like what we talked before, I knew LA Knight was going to get this push, especially being endorsed by Cena, but I didn't think it was going to be this fast. I didn't think we would see LA Knight versus Roman Reigns in a big time match until later next year, especially at like Royal Rumble or even Money in the Bank. I mean, I'm not necessarily Money in the Bank because that's, you know, midway through the year, but either the Royal Rumble or even Mania, you know, but
absolutely.
I just think that they're trying to push this one for the for Crown Jewel, which is coming up, their next pay-per-view event, trying to get some type of main event situated for that. We all know that this is the WWE's big cash grab, especially going to Saudi Arabia, getting all that payout that they could possibly get.
That's right.
But even though they are trying to build this as, you know, LA Knight's big singles push, and now he wants the championship since Roman's been gone for a couple months and being inactive, I think that it's still going to be Roman straps at the end of the night. I think that this is going to be a situation where LA Knight will have multiple matches against Roman, and I just don't want to see it happen like they did with Sammy, though. Have that one match and then back to the end of the line, never to be seen again in the main title picture.
Because that would irritate the shit out of me, because
it would. I mean, especially
just a waste of time.
Yeah, it's just a waste of time, and it just feels like at that point in time, why would you even push it for at that pay per view, or why would you even give him that push in general?
Real, absolutely.
Everything coming back with Roman coming back that night. I like how they set it up though for later on in the night, where they didn't have LA Knight go straight after Roman Reigns. Instead, they had him have a match with Solo Sikoa instead.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of refreshing in a way to have a storyline be built up a little bit more instead of just having two superstars that just don't like each other just go at it.
Right.
But do you see? I mean, this is adding another wrinkle into the Cody story. Do you see Cody still being that guy at WrestleMania?
I don't know, man. They keep playing with this stupid ass storyline of his back and forth, back and forth.
Exactly. It's something that he's saying. Yeah, it's all part of the storyline. It's all part of my story. It's all part of my story. I got to finish the story. Well, when are you going to finish it? Because right now, that story is turning into like a Stephen King novel.
Yeah, no shit.
It's so long, so many twists and turns. It's like, can we just have this done and over with, you know? But we had, besides that segment, to open up the matches, we had a tag team match between Pretty Deadly and the Brawling Brutes.
Yep.
These tag teams had their issues in the past, over the past few months. Brawling Brutes giving multiple injuries to that tag team. I'm not a big fan of Pretty Deadly, mostly because I didn't watch enough NXT to really invest on who they were back when they were part of NXT.
Right.
But it just seemed like a kind of like a simple match to add to the storyline and to the to like I guess the rivalry between the two teams. And it ended on a way I would have expected to, and I was actually perfectly fine with it. A roll up pin. You know, that's a perfectly time to do the roll up pin is something like that. Not like at a pay per view event or anything. It's just right. something to add to the storyline. So I wasn't too mad about how it ended, but I just think it's just hard now to focus on the tag divisions, especially when you have a unified championship with the undisputed tag team championships. It's hard right. to get excited for anybody in the tag division because you used to have like the what was it? The next in line, pretty much. You used to have yeah. those fights. You used to have the number one contenders fights for those. Now it's just, you know, whoever wants to step up and challenge anybody, really.
We need to bring that back. Open
yeah, challenges exactly. every week. Exactly. Or just have something where the belts aren't unified anymore, because I think that's actually hurting both, like, the tag team divisions, honestly.
I think it is. Split the belts up and then have mm-hmm. one on Raw, one on SmackDown. But exactly. once every year, have that SmackDown versus Raw fight. Who's better, SmackDown or Raw?
So pretty much just have it at Survivor Series.
Yes,
with like the two top best teams, the two top best tag teams, and a what 8-man tag match.
That'll work. That could work.
I mean, that's the only time that I could see something like that actually working. You know, I mean, that would be a pretty good idea. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, but. For right now, I think yeah, they definitely need to separate the belts, especially with TV contracts coming up, them switching back to USA. I imagine USA would want a belt on their network for something.
Right.
And after that match, we've seen a little bit of footage of your boy Carlito.
Mm-hmm.
He got jumped by the Street Profits during an interview while he was distracted by Bobby Lashley. Bailey was back there because she was complaining to Adam Pearce because not having a champion celebration for Io Sky. This ends up setting a match up between Zelina Vega and Bailey because of the simple fact that Zelina just didn't like the Zelina called Bailey and Io Sky groupie. So they settled it in the ring, and that match was the second match of the night. I didn't expect anything less than interference from Damage Control.
Yeah.
But I think I was more impressed by how Zelina actually performed. I know Zelina is mostly a managerial talent. She has been ever since her days in Impact Wrestling.
Right.
So it was nice to see her actually out there in singles competition every now and then. She looked pretty damn good doing it. And I just think that... It was a needless beatdown at the end. You know, I think that, you know, Bailey won. You know, I understand that they want to enforce that dominance that Damage Control might have and being heels.
They don't have no damn dominance. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they don't. They
don't have shit.
It was just stupid just beating her up at the end. And what either surprised me at the most about that was Charlotte coming in at the end for the save on Zelina Vega. So could we just be seeing Charlotte turn face pretty soon, you know? I mean,
possibly.
It wouldn't hurt her brand.
Saying, yeah, wouldn't hurt her would not hurt her brand at all.
I know she's
been a heel, so.
Oh yeah. Well, she's got that natural heel, you know, heelness to her, I guess you could say, because
yeah,
of her dad,
Mr.
You know?
Ric Flair.
Ooh. Yeah, Rick. Exactly. So, I mean, it would be nice to see a different change. Then maybe she'll actually start performing and actually give a fuck at some of these pay-per-view events.
Right.
Next, we had Triple H's big announcement. And what can I say? Our sources were right. Nick Aldis does make his WWE debut and was introduced as the new GM of the Blue Brand, sending Adam Pearce to be the general manager of Raw. I'm not going to lie. There was zero pop when Nick Aldis got introduced as GM. The crowd was like silent as all hell.
So then why don't we just bring back, like I suggested a few weeks ago, guest GMs like they did way back in the day.
Every week, I think it's
a new GM. I love that shit. That was so wild.
I also think, too, because Nick Aldis never wrestled in a WWE before. He's spent his time in Impact, NWA, all these smaller promotions. And a lot of people, like the casual average wrestling fan that just goes to an event just to go because they know the names of Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, all the big-time names, they don't know who the hell this guy is.
Right.
They can care less. You know, they just see this guy walking and be like, who the hell is this guy?
Right, absolutely. That's kind of why I wasn't really like, oh, okay, just some other dude off the street.
Exactly, and it's like, you know, he was former two-time NWA champion, and it's another piece that they're adding to the Cody story because he was in Cody's past with that right. NWA championship.
Oh, that's true.
He's honestly not that old, and he still can compete in the ring. So, I mean, I won't be a bit surprised if he competes every now and then, too, as an active general manager.
So another Triple H.
I mean, Triple H or Kurt Angle, because Kurt Angle was still doing it too when he was general manager for a little bit.
That's true. I forgot about
that. I think the biggest pop of the night that Nick Aldis did get from the crowd was when he addressed Dominic Mysterio. And he says, I'm a big fan. And then he stops for a second. Out of your dad.
I laughed so hard. I watched the recap on that. That shit made me laugh.
Dude. That was awesome. I was like, damn, dude, he just destroyed Dominic right there on TV. And you could tell in Dominic's entire promo that he was trying not to break kayfabe as much as possible because he was trying not to like laugh and shit. You could just tell on his face, you know.
I love that type of shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. And it's like the vet, the grizzled vet got one over the young guy, and the young guy broke, you know.
That's funny. That made me laugh so hard, though. I watched it in recap, and bro, when I say I laughed.
Oh, yeah. I think I played that one back a few times because it was just hilarious because Dominic was full of so much piss and vinegar that, you know, he was just looking for anybody to take it out on. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of your dad.
Did you have me laughing, man? Oh, I'm about to start crying laughing.
Exactly. On Friday night, we also found out who the person that was being traded for Jey Uso was. And that was Kevin Owens made his Friday Night SmackDown debut.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because
after being announced that he was traded for Jey Uso, officially splitting him and Sammy up for the 100th time of their career.
Yeah, no shit.
Do you like that move?
I don't like the move that they took the belts off my guys, man. It kills me. 9 days? I'm sorry. I don't know if you want to get in this team
a little bit. I mean, we'll get into that. That's Monday, but yeah.
9 days. Dang.
Oh, man. I mean, I kind of expected Sammy and Kevin to break up. They always do. It's like that couple in high school. That's always back and forth.
It's always going to be back and forth with them.
So, you know, it's going to be – I don't take it as forever. You know, there's probably going to be another – there's always going to be another draft or another superstar shakeup, you know, especially after Mania, usually 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, so
I expect that to happen.
So they're going to go do their own singles matches and shit and fuck around for a while. But then
I think this could also be another way of trying to further the bloodline story too. Now Roman has, you know, the belts. He has to appear both on SmackDown and Raw. Well, now you have enemies on both SmackDown and Raw, so you really have no safe hiding ground.
This is very true.
So, I mean, it's definitely going to make for a wild time for him to try to retain.
Good luck. WWE's Wonder Boy. Yeah.
Exactly. Nick Aldis also announced that Charlotte Flair will be taking on Io Sky the next episode of SmackDown for the WWE Women's Championship. But then Triple H throws a little monkey wrench in that. He introduces Charlotte to newly signed superstar Jade Cargill.
I don't know how I feel about her yet.
See, I mean, they're going to start her right up at the top.
They're going to ruin it. They're going to ruin all of it.
I think what's going to happen is Charlotte's going to get that championship. It's going to be one more step to being compared to Rick. And then she's going to face Jade. And they're going to have a few matches. Jade's going to lose.
It'll be like two out of three matches and then, or some shit. Yeah. Like that.
And then about a few months later, you'll see Jade Cargill released from WWE.
I don't want to say that, but we're calling that right now.
I mean, we've already jinxed a lot of freaking people on here already.
No. Don't say we. You.
Hey, this is an umbrella situation, like TKO, okay? You fall underneath that umbrella. I'm dragging your ass with me.
You say it, and then the next week, I'm just like, wait, what?
Exactly. You know? Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see how that Charlotte versus Jade storyline will play out in the next few weeks or months, especially if it goes how we think it's going to go. Then we have Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes. We're able to successfully defend their undisputed tag team championships against A-Town Down Under, the tag team of Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just going to let them have their one little night of fame because it all comes crashing down on Monday, and I have nothing else to add to this for that
Friday. Yeah, I agree with you.
Let them have their little fame for this little 10, 15 seconds that we talked about it, and then we're just going to destroy them.
Monday night.
It was introduced during SmackDown. It was announced during SmackDown that a match between Santos Escobar and Montez Ford will be taking place next episode of SmackDown. This coming after the backstage jumping of Carlito. So that should be a fun match. Santos Escobar, one of those luchadors. Montez Ford, one of those hyped up guys that runs.
That's going to be a high energy match.
Oh yeah, it will be. I expect that one to probably be a decent match tomorrow night, and I hope it will be.
Wait, shit. It's already Friday. Oh my god. Thursday, yeah. Today is my Friday, so my brain is just switched for tomorrow already. I'm thinking about what's going on tomorrow.
Exactly. Oh yeah. So that brings us to the main event of Friday Night SmackDown, where LA Knight defeated Solo Sikoa by pinfall. Mm-hmm. And
I'm on the wrong page of notes.
I'm just glad that they decided that the interference that was ran on that match didn't cost LA Knight the match, because I feel like if it did, it would be so much worse for his push going forward.
Yeah.
Because like I said last episode, I don't want that match where it's like the Kofi versus Lesnar match where it's over and the challenger is 15 seconds. Exactly. It's not even
that match the challenger made me so hurt. Mad.
Oh yeah. I think it made a lot of people mad.
That still made a dirty taste in my mouth, like, bro.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's
I like Kofi Kingston. I've always liked Kofi.
It's going on like 5 years, like next October, and it's like that still leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But yeah, it's like that one match, and you're never heard from again in the main event after that. And it's like I didn't want that to happen, and I'm glad, like I said, the interference didn't cause that match to go like that. But I'm also kind of glad on how this LA Knight versus Roman story is actually going to be set up. I mean, it seems like they're taking their time with this one instead of rushing it. And I know it's not, I mean, I just hope it goes at least two matches. I hope it goes at least the Crown Jewel pay-per-view.
Crown Jewel and then like WrestleMania or...
You'd probably have to have it back-to-back. I would say Crown Jewel Survivor Series.
Yeah, that's what I was. Okay, yeah. I was thinking the next.
But then again, usually Survivor Series. Well, it can't be because typically most Survivor Series is champion versus champion. But you really can't do that because Roman has both belts. So
Roman sucks.
Yeah, well, be him wrestling himself. Maybe that'd be his first loss, man.
I don't know, man. I'm just not a fan.
I could see though that their first match would be like a not so clean finish. Interference, but then I think the second match would be a stipulation match where the bloodline's banned from ringside.
Yes,
will have a clean finish no matter what. Overall, I mean, what were your thoughts on SmackDown? I mean, you like them bringing back the GMs?
I want them to bring back the guest GMs. That's what made the show fun for me. Like, I don't know if you remember this. For instance, Johnny Knoxville was one of the guys for a hot second.
Yeah, yeah.
He got in the ring. He was dicking around with them. He made it fun. to watch.
Yeah, I mean, some of them do. Yeah.
I was like, okay, so what's Johnny gonna do now?
I mean, as long as we don't have like the mystery GM, like what we had, like
the computer. The computer? No.
Yeah,
no,
as long as we don't have that, I'll be all right. But it won't be called the mystery GM. It'll be called the AI GM.
Ah, that's true.
But yeah, it'd be kind of, you know, interesting. I mean, I'm just glad that they brought him back because, you know, it was, even though we've had like Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce and all these other authority figures that have been kind of running both brands, it's nice to see two separate GMs, two separate brands. And I think that it's going to be it's going to be interesting going forward. It's going to have a little bit more of a, I think, rivalry going forward, like it used to be.
Right.
Where one guy's like, hey, this is the A show still. We're still Monday Night Raw. Don't fuck with us. Meanwhile, the other guy's like, hey, no, we're the B show, but we're not the B show. We're getting the ratings. So they're competing.
We're not the B show. We're top dog. It's like Little Brother versus Big Brother type of shit.
Exactly. Yeah. And Aldous even said that in his little speech that he had with Adam Pearce in the ring. He's like, I'm looking for some good, friendly competition with you. And I think that's what they need to bring back in the ratings, not just in the ratings, but get people back because of what Vince has done in the past 2, 3, 4 years. Yeah. They have so little time to try to undo all this shit that they, you know, they figured out, hey, we probably need this. This is probably for the best.
Right. I'm excited that the McMahon family, well, not exact. Okay, let's just say Vince does not have his fingers in the creativity anymore.
Yes. TKO his already fingers, came out and announced that. Yeah,
his I fingers are out of the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, all the fans needed to hear that definitely because everybody was wondering who is doing creative. Why is this sucking so much? You know, and they said, yeah, going forward, Vince is not part of creative. Hunter's part of creative. He's doing all of creative. Only thing Vince is doing is like television deals, anything like that, anything involving media, really.
Right.
And I think that's where he needs
to be. That's where he needs to be.
And that's his bread and butter, honestly, because, you know, he was working with TV deals way before he was even the owner and CEO of WWE.
Right.
And I'm just absolutely. And I'm honestly just glad that they brought in a GM before Survivor Series too, because it actually makes Survivor Series so much more hyped. Because you got the two GMs that want to go out there and like, hey, no, my brand's more superior than your brand.
I'm excited I don't remember which event it's at, where it's normally small. Jesus Christ. Raw versus SmackDown.
Survivor Series.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Red versus blue. That's what they always had.
That's what I was thinking. Red versus blue.
Except for that one year when they threw in NXT for some odd reason because they were trying to push NXT as a third brand.
I mean,
so they had it red versus blue versus yellow and black.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing that again if they did it the right way.
Yeah,
but if it was done the right way,
like they did, like an invasion style, if I remember right. Where NXT invaded Raw and SmackDown, and then SmackDown invaded NXT and Raw and all that shit. That's when you seen Becky Lynch become the man with the busted nose.
That's true.
Oh, that is all we have for Friday Night SmackDown. We are heading over to AEW with Collision on Saturday.
I'm not going to lie. I forgot it was even on.
I mean, a lot of us do. I mean, it's Saturday night. It's competing with college football. It's competing with other sports. I mean, it's one of the shows that it's hard to get into because you have everything else in the world of entertainment going on around Saturday. And, I mean, it was an all right show. It opened up with Adam Copeland making a promo about Christian. When Christian to come out, Christian comes out with Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne, and then everybody else on the card. Everybody else start coming out, and then Christian had his little security, and things escalated after that, and everybody from the locker room that was on the card seemed like they wanted to come out and talk something, so it just seemed like it went too fast, too quick, and then a massive brawl broke out, and then it ended up with the faces taking out Christian and his security team, pretty much. It just seemed like it was rushed. It seemed like they they felt like they had to have everybody that was on the card out there make an appearance just to say, hey, I'm on the card tonight, guys. Look at me.
Right? You don't need it. You don't need a, stacked card. You just need a couple good people and a couple
Well, not just areas. That, but it's like the brawl would have been all right if it was just, you know, one or two people. But, you know, almost having like a Royal Rumble-type-esque brawl inside the ring on a promo?
Yeah, it's a little, it's kind of much. It's kind of much.
I mean, yeah, it's too much. First match of the night, though, we've seen Samoa Joe defend his Ring of Honor World Television Championship against Willie Mack.
Yeah.
Let's just say it this way. Joe was in control the entire fight. He attempted three covers before Mack even attempted one. At the end, Joe hits Mack with a muscle buster and gets the three count and retains his championship. I mean, typical Joe win. I don't know when he's going to relinquish that Ring of Honor television title.
It's going to be a while.
It seems like, it's going to be a while. Especially, you know, he's had that once before, Ring of Honor, when he first started. So I think he's trying to bring some type of integrity back to the championship. Second match of the night, we saw Juice Robinson defeating the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. We know this match was just.
I completely forgot about him.
Oh yeah, dude. He's like in his 50s, dude. He's putting over younger talent. He's
Jesus Christ.
He mostly does all the match cards for AEW. If you ever watched Being the Elite, which is their YouTube series that they put out every Monday. You'll see Christopher Daniels backstage every now and then, writing down on our whiteboard, erasing stuff, trying to get matches. Said,
what was that called? Being Elite?
Being the Elite, BTE. It's on YouTube. They release a new episode every Monday. It's just a little behind-the-scenes type stuff at All Elite Wrestling. It's hosted by the Young Bucks, and they just go around and show you behind-the-scenes stuff. It's just mostly them breaking kayfabe, really. But,
subscribe to them here on YouTube.
Oh yeah, they got some decent episodes every now and then, but yeah, Juice Robinson picked up the win over Christopher Daniels. It was a match to get Juice a little bit more TV time and give him that push that he's been deserving of. It's what happened after the match that stood out to me the most. I mean, the match was decent. I mean, it could be as decent as some guy in his 30s and a guy in his mid 50s can possibly put on. After the match, the Guns held Christopher Daniels for Juice Robinson. The Gun Brothers held Christopher Daniels for Juice Robinson to punch with a ring on, and then Juice tells MJF that he's gonna win the Diamond Battle Royale and take his ring and then come for his championship. Shortly after that happened, Dustin Rhodes declares as an entrant for the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royale.
I kind of forgot place he was on there this too.
Wednesday. Yeah, I think a lot of people did. He's mostly a trainer now. He works behind the scenes developing the younger talent. It's nice to see him still wrestle every now and then. I mean, but he's just mostly thrown in there just to be like, hey, I'm still here type thing.
Right. Just to be a card.
Oh yeah, just to be on the card, just to get that paycheck, you know. It's understandable. You gotta make a living somehow. The next match though we had was a squash match. We seen Kyle Fletcher defeat Boulder via tap out. It was a match that ended pretty quickly. Next match we had was the TBS Championship was up for grabs as Chris Statlander defeated Sky Blue to retain her championship. It was a decent match. I like that combination of the high flying that Sky Blue brings and the all around power that Chris Statlander has. It made for a good match, especially when Statlander's trying to ground, you know, a high flyer in that situation. I wish, though, that the AEW women's division was stronger overall.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, man.
It's still a smaller company, but eventually you're going to get talent. I mean, you got to take care of the men. Like, I know AEW's been around, what, 2, 3, 4 years now?
Going on 5 years. January 1st, I think.
Okay, so then they're going around 5 years. You got to realize they're still in competition with a company that's been around for 40-something years.
That's true.
So they're still getting their talent up and around.
I just think that when Tony Khan formed this company with the Young Bucks, Cody, Kenny Omega, and Hangman Page, he built the men's roster and then completely forgot. Hey,
he built the men's roster, but shit on the women's roster.
Exactly. Yeah, he forgot that he had a women's division. You know, and I think though a lot of it has to do with a lot of injuries too to some of the women's roster. The women's roster, I think you got Britt Baker. I think she's out with injury, and you have Thunder Rosa who's coming back from injury pretty soon. So I think that would actually be a good matchup right there. To get Thunder Rosa back in, maybe have her have a match with Statlander. But I know that Thunder Rosa is mostly a main card, main eventer pretty much. So I don't know if she'll drop down to the mid card. Only time will tell, you know, especially the severity, especially if there was any severity to that injury, you know.
Yeah,
the,
right. No,
especially
for real,
if you
want to
make her come back, you know, ease her into the main event again. The next match we got was Keith Lee. Keith Lee versus Turbo Floyd. this was another squash match that night. All Keith Lee had to do was hit a back body drop and a power bomb. Picked up an easy win. Literally, that's all that happened.
Literally. I mean, like,
There's a few more things, but I mean, that was all the action that was in that match. So that moves us on to the main event for the TNT Championships. For the TNT Championship, as we've seen Christian Cage take on Bryan Danielson.
Okay, where did Bryan Danielson come in the storyline for that? Because I have no idea.
Well, they're using
Ohio, really? You wear that Ohio crap?
Yeah, I mean, I always wear it. I've always worn it since high
school. You've worn it since like middle school, bud. I've known it forever.
I've worn it since like elementary, dude. I have pictures of me, like spring pictures with Ohio State stuff on. I mean, I'm always representing. I noticed 614 is listening too because I can check the analytics. And what up, 614? But anyways, Bryan Danielson came into this because he helped Edge out. I think it was like, what, 2-3 weeks ago he came in and saved Edge from Christian. And it was kind of like that match, that fatal three-way match that they had. I think it was at Mania 37, I want to say, where it was Daniel Bryan versus Edge versus Roman Reigns for the championships.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
That's when Roman pinned both of them at the same time. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
And they're kind of using like a recycled storyline almost from WWE, but they're using it like on like a mid-card belt pretty much.
Right. Yeah.
But this match overall though, between Christian and Danielson, it was actually a pretty decent match. It was going really good. They all pulled out a lot of their arsenal between the both of them. You had Bryan Danielson put in LaBelle. See, I do it too, man. I do it a lot, man.
I was thinking at this side quest, I was thinking last night, what is his real name?
Like, what was Bryan Danielson, I think.
I couldn't remember what he used in WWE, and then it just like
Daniel Bryan,
me right in the face. I'm like, oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yep. But I liked it. They were able to pull all their arsenal. Christian had the the Unprettier, whatever it was called, that he used to use back in the day. And then Bryan Danielson had the LaBelle lock. So I mean, they're busting out everything that they could possibly do. And I liked it because there was a lot of false finishes too. A lot of two counts. And I know
I like more two counts. Like maybe a handful of two counts is always like awesome for me.
Exactly. And then you get that one that's like a 2.9 and you're like, oh shit, dude, I thought that was gonna be it.
Right.
But it also wasn't a clean finish. I know that AEW prides themselves in having a lot of clean finishes, but it seems of lately they haven't had as many clean finishes. I mean, I understand, you know, them being Christian being an ultimate heel like he is right now. I understand that the finish is kind of required. Oh, yeah, he is.
No, his persona of the character he's playing is a douche.
I know it is. I know it is. But it's effective. I don't have an issue with that. But the issue I think I did have was, why use a chair shot on a guy with concussion issues?
This is true.
I mean, I understand that he's been cleared for a few years now, but still, those issues never.
That's kind of a dick move.
It really is, though. I mean, it really is. Because, I mean, it's just a cop-out to get beat someone up after the bell. I can't wait to see where this ends. I hope that it doesn't end in a fatal three-way like it did back in WWE with, like I just mentioned. But right. I can definitely tell that there's going to be some type of dynamic between the three of them, especially with Adam Copeland, where he's going to go with this entire storyline.
Right. I'm excited to see where that goes between.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I almost said Edge. Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. I mean, curious on where it's going to go.
I just can't wait until the day that they're like, all right, we're ending this storyline. Christian, we're going to shelve you for a little bit. Adam, we're still going to push you a little bit. Christian, when you come back, we're going to give you guys a shot at the tag team titles.
You know what? I would not be mad at that.
Honestly, I wouldn't either. But I think that's going to take a lot to do, because especially when you add someone as young as Nick Wayne, who's only 18 years old, who is just starting his professional career, it's going to be hard to see if that does happen, especially with Edge telling them, hey, Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne are only using you for your knowledge, then they're going to suck you dry and kick you to the edge, the curb.
I mean, they've been in the business for how many years? They're not wrong.
Exactly. Well, Edge experienced it firsthand himself with the Judgment Day, They sucked all the knowledge from him and then kicked him out and brought in Finn Balor.
That I kind of did not understand why they did that at all. Made zero sense, but whatever.
Exactly. Well, I mean, Finn Balor, he's always better with the group anyways. I mean, he was one of the original founders of the Bullet Club back in New Japan, so
this is very true.
He always does better with the crew.
But I liked him as the demon. That was that's still one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, it is. I would like to see a Judgment Day style demon where he's all like purple, black, all that.
Bro, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
That would be pretty sweet, dude.
Don't do that to me.
I think he already had something that was kind of like it, but I mean, I can't remember 100% like what it was, but yeah, he's done it so many different styles too. Overall, I'd say that main event though was probably the best match of the night. It wasn't the best collision. Of course, like I said, it's on Saturday night. It's competing with other sports like college football and stuff like that. But I don't like as many squash matches either. I had two squash matches. I just felt like everything was rushed from the main event to the promo. And that's from the main event, from the very opening promo to get to the main event, pretty much.
Right.
It seemed like they were advertising that, like, boom, like right off the bat. Hey, Daniel Bryan, well, Bryan Danielson and Christian are going to have this fight in the main event,
Right.
We're moving back on over to the WWE. As this past Monday night on Raw, we've seen Sami Zayn open up Raw discussing how he felt about Kevin Owens getting traded to SmackDown and how he feels about Jey Uso at that point in time. Of course, no promo in the WWE can go without being interrupted. Judgment Day interrupted him and teased a 3-on-1 beatdown of him until Jey comes out in the defense of his former bloodline brother to make sure it doesn't happen. Do you think that this is going to eventually set up something between Sammy and Jay at WrestleMania?
It's so unclear to tell anymore. They keep breaking up teams. I don't know.
We'll get more into it we're going to get more into it later on this episode of Monday Night too. We're going to get a little bit more into this Monday Night Raw episode. I got another idea that could possibly happen for Jey Uso too at WrestleMania. So we'll get into that a little bit as we go on. It seemed like they respected each other at some point in time when they were on the bloodline. So it's going to be interesting to see if this is something that Sammy can't look past, see if he was like, I cut ties with you before. I cut ties with you and Roman and Jimmy. I don't want anything to do with you. You know, I miss Kevin pretty much. I wonder if they're going to do something like that. But first match of the night.
I don't know if that's going to go that way.
Oh, yeah. It's. I think it's going to go some completely different route. I mean, it's WWE. They're going to try to figure out a route that doesn't make the most sense sometimes as it is. So, first match of the night, though, we had a Falls Count Anywhere match between Ricochet and Shinsuke Nakamura. I'll say this. Ever since TKO announced that Trips has full control of creativity, Shinsuke and Ricochet have been looking like decent mid-card and even somewhat main event status competitors. Right. They've been balling out. They've been putting on decent matches ever since. And I think what really stood out to my mind in that match was a pretty awesome shooting star press that Ricochet did from the stands to
land on Nakamura. That was pretty dope.
That was pretty dope. I mean, Ricochet's been a high flyer. He's been in the business for years. He was part of Lucha Underground.
Modern day Jeff Hardy.
I mean, in a way, yeah. I mean, I don't know how much you've ever watched of Lucha Underground, but I think his name was Prince Puma or something for Lucha Underground. And he was doing a lot of high-flying moves back then, too.
Nah, did not watch any.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things, I think it was even aired on, like, MTV. So it was, like, one of those things where, you know, not a lot of people watched it in general. But I'm not really a fan of the Falls Count Anywhere matches, just like the Last Man Standing. But in early matches and, like, non-pay-per-view events, I think they're pretty decent. Especially when that shooting stars press where it got that spot right there alone got a decent pop. So,
right.
But at the end of the day, Shinsuke picked up the win. Where do you see him going from here? Do you think he's going to eventually challenge Seth Rollins again for his World Heavyweight Championship?
Probably.
I mean, we already have Seth versus Drew at Crown Jewel.
So where was that storyline made out of? I'm not really sure how that was even made.
What, the Drew and Seth?
Yeah.
Was
it just kind of thrown together?
See, what happened was Trips took a shit one day and he pulled it out of his ass.
Probably, but I mean, all right.
Honestly, I don't know. Drew's been, like I said last episode, kind of getting a silent push. I think this is probably an apology for for releasing Matt Riddle, because they had that tag team idea that Riddle was going to team with Drew.
So I liked Matt Riddle, man. I wish he would come back. I liked him a lot.
I think this is their way of saying sorry for having to scrap that. So I think this is where they're sending Drew, is to face Seth because of that scrap storyline. They needed something to fill that space. And I think that's the only thing that would have appeased Drew going forward, is if he either had some type of shot at a championship or on his way to a shot at a championship.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You know what? I'll take it. Just another match.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's that, and it's a chance, too, for Drew to win another big prize. I mean, he's already been WWE champion, I think Universal champion or something like that. So, I mean, it's just going to add to his resume if he wins it. So,
this is very true.
Second match of the night, seeing Piper Niven with Chelsea Green take on Natalya in a singles match. Not a real big fan of Natalya, never have been, never probably will be.
Really a fan of Bret the Hitman Hart either.
Oh, dude, Owen Hart was a hell of a lot better. Owen was a hell of a lot better. I will die on that hill that Owen was better than Bret. But anyways, Natalya was in a singles match. Started off back and forth between the two superstars. It seems like if I had to make a comparison for Natalya to any modern wrestler on the men's division, I would say that it was Dolph Ziggler, because she puts over a lot of people.
She seems
to have no issue doing the job to put over younger stars or just anyone in general, and not winning any gold along the way too. So after the match was over, Niven and Green attacked Natalya, in which Tegan Knox comes out to make the save for Natalya. The only thing I can hope is that Triple H actually decides to do something with these women's tag team straps and makes a match between the four of them, where it's Natalya, Tegan Nox versus Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. I feel like that's the best way, because right now you haven't done anything with those straps for a very long time. And I think people are getting wondering if they're going to be up for grabs anytime soon. Especially
very true.
As they really haven't been defended too much either. So it's like, gotta do something with them. And I think this would probably be the perfect way, especially for Natalya. She hasn't won a major championship in a very long time. It would be nice to see her with a strap.
I agree with you. I'm not going to lie to you. I agree. I would like to see her with a strap.
I mean,
just for a little bit.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, and then if you look at it too, I mean, she hasn't even held the strap for like ever, man. I can't remember the last time she held a strap.
I don't think she has in like 10 years.
It's been a while, dude. It's been a very long time. But yeah, like you said, it'd be nice, even if this is for like a few, maybe like a pay-per-view or two, you know. Next match, we had Johnny Gargano versus Ludwig Kaiser.
I just had that up on my screen. I don't know what I did with it.
Honestly, I'm glad that I should say Triple H, is deciding to bring back the tag team of DIY, which was Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
Right.
But like always, one of them has to always be injured, and that's the case with Tommaso Ciampa. He's out at the moment. And I think the longer that Ciampa's out, I think the more push that Ludwig Kaiser is going to be getting as a singles run. Right now, he's one of the members of Emporium with Gunther. And I can't remember the other guy's name. Sorry, other guy, you're not important to me.
Clearly, damn. Just, all right, you're not important.
I mean, I'm cursing him. He's going to be out of WWE with the month. I believe that this will happen because, honestly, we've seen a little video promo of Ludwig Kaiser. And it's going to be interesting to see if it's going to happen or not. And where Imperium goes from that. You know, if they're going to break up or not, because Gunther, he has the Intercontinental Championship. I mean, he's held that thing for, I think, the record now. So,
yeah.
It'd probably be best if they broke him up, you know, because Gunther, he's more of a main event guy anyways. I mean, he doesn't need those other two guys, really. So,
right. Yeah. No, he can be a good main eventer on his own.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, we also heard that Jey Uso was going to get that singles push, too. And that never happened yet either. But anyways, that night against Johnny Gargano, Ludwig picks up the win. I hope that Tommaso Ciampa returns soon, because I think at the time of both men's career with Gargano and Ciampa, I think that they need each other to stay relevant in the WWE, since they used to be powerhouses back in NXT when NXT was the original black and gold brand. I think that the tag team that they have together, Team DIY, I think it's great, and I hopefully that they can get a push as a tag team, but they both have to stay healthy in order for that to happen.
Right.
Go ahead, man.
I was just gonna say, this is very true. You got to stay healthy to make it.
Oh yeah, you do. You do, and that's what unfortunately ends a lot of wrestlers' careers, is the injury bug. I mean, Jason Jordan, he was part of the Alpha. Well, was I think it was like the original Alpha Academy with him and Gable back in the day. He ended up getting a neck injury and hasn't wrestled since. And he's taking a producer role backstage, and that's how it is. I mean, Bobby Roode is the exact same way. We haven't seen him on television. He's been quietly moved to a producer.
I haven't seen him in so long, bro.
Oh, yeah. He's been off TV for almost, I think, a year now. So, yeah, he's been quietly moved back to producer. So it's the injury bug that's been taking away a lot of people. Next match, we've seen Shayna Baszler take on Rhea Ripley.
You already know how that ended.
Title match. I mean, it ended, but I actually liked how they did this match. It was a 9-title match. It was a match, honestly, set up by creative to showcase some of the women in the locker room who haven't been on TV that they used on TV for about 2-3 weeks in a row, and then kind of put them back in the, you know, kind of shelve them for a little bit, because and it's all possible candidates to take Rhea's championship. Honestly, you had Zoe Stark, Nia Jax, and Raquel Rodriguez all battling it outside the ring at the same time as the match is going on. It seemed like a lot was going on. It seemed like pure chaos because you had essentially two things to watch at the same time.
If I can't focus on one thing, there's no way I'm going to be able to focus on two.
Exactly. And I thought it was good, especially showcasing Shayna once more, because of course Shayna was the golden girl of NXT Black and Gold back in the day, but it's good to see her back in this championship hunt. And the match ended by Rhea winning via DQ.
She's always gonna get DQ'd.
this shows us that, hey, that many of these women have been off TV for a while due to shitty creative, but we want to show you, yes, they're still here, and yes, they still could get a push for this championship. I think that's what they're saying to us. You know, like I said, they're trying to undo so many bad months, possibly years of creative overnight. And I have no issue.
It's going to take a minute.
But they're doing it right, in my opinion, right now. They're doing it right. They're trying to right the wrongs. And I feel like that's going to make up for a better product going forward. Let's see. We also have breaking news from that match, honestly. Nia Jax didn't injure anyone.
She got injured?
No, she didn't injure anyone. Oh. And she didn't get injured. Yeah, congratulations. Right, Monday night is officially one day free of Nia Jax not injuring anyone. OSHA would be so proud of him.
Yeah, right, OSHA. Jesus Christ, OSHA.
Oh, man. We also, on Monday night, had Gunther defending his Intercontinental Championship successfully against Bronson Reed in a matchup of two beefy men slapping big meat, as Big E would say.
How many times is he going to defend that, is my question.
As many times as he possibly wants. No, I think it's just a situation where the Intercontinental and the United States Championship really have lost their
meaning.
Integrity, I guess.
Yes.
And they've lost their meaning. They've been passed around so many times, and they've kind of lost their luster. So I think right now, with both championships not changing hands in quite some time, I know Ray just won his about maybe like a few months ago, but just having that in general for me signifies that, you know, hey, they want to take some type of meaning to this championship. And with Gunther holding it for as long as he has and not losing during that time span really shows me that they're taking this more seriously and that they really want this Intercontinental Championship to mean something again.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like it was a decent match. You had two big guys that were in there, and
I missed the big guy matches sometimes.
Oh, yeah, you know, and that's what it was. It was two big guys going in there, just battling it out. I know that. I hope that Bronson Reed does get a little bit more of these title shots, for the Intercontinental Championship. He hasn't been showcased a lot since he returned to WWE. So after being released during like the first COVID cutoff and the budget cuts. So it's going to be interesting to see how WWE uses him going forward. If they decide to be that, he's going to be the one to take the belt off of Gunther.
Right.
Because I feel like at this point in time, Gunther needs that belt off of him, and he needs different straps on him.
I agree wholeheartedly.
He should compete for that. I feel like he should compete for that against Roman. I feel like he's done everything
he is the one who needs to be going against Roman. Sorry, not
LA. I've honestly said that since, like, I can't remember which pay-per-view event. Why aren't we pushing Gunther for that main spot? Why aren't we doing that? Because honestly, Gunther, he's a traditional wrestler. He likes to grapple. He feels like if he can grapple and he can get you in holds and, you know, just manhandle you, he's good. And I feel like that's what they need. They need a bigger guy to go up against Roman.
This is,
and I feel like, you know, no disrespect to LA Knight, no disrespect to, you know, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens,
they've all had Edge,
everybody like that who's ever competed against them. I feel like they just don't. I mean, seriously, how many chops could Roman take from Gunther?
Not many. How many?
Exactly. Kofi only
took one from the Big Show, and the Big Show's freaking huge.
And Gunther, when he slaps, that thing echoes throughout the entire arena. And that's just one slap.
It's like, it reminds, so it's the modern day Big Show.
Pretty much, but without all the weight. I mean, Gunther did have a little bit of weight on him, but he's lost it, and he's actually looking pretty decent. But yeah, I feel like one or two good chops against that chest, and Roman's probably going to be fighting for air. He's going to have the wind knocked out of him.
Yeah.
And I think that would probably be one of my best bets to possibly take him off of Roman, but it's what's good for business and what's good for a storyline, and got to finish the story.
I don't understand. Like, I'm kind of over that. Like, all right, let's see where it's going, I guess, you know?
Exactly. And for your main event for Monday Night Raw, for the Undisputed Tag Team Championships, we've seen Jimmy Uso cost Jay Uso and Cody Rhodes the straps against the Judgment Day.
Stupid.
Jimmy takes out Jay and sets Finn Balor up for the coup de grace for the finish.
That's so dumb. It's so irritating. Like, whatever. I already told you. I'm done. Like, whatever.
9 days, one title defense successful, one title defense unsuccessful. I just got to ask a question. Jabber Nation, are you happy? Two episodes in a row that cursed the wrestler. Rey Fénix, now Cody Rhodes.
Come on, man. Might as well go 3 for 3.
I know. I mean, I got to get
somebody. Nia Jax is going to get hurt.
That would be something crazy. Hey, that was your doing, not mine.
You know what? I'll take the blame.
I'll take the blame. I think the entire universe will thank you for it. But yeah, I was thinking, besides Sammy versus Jay at Mania, what about Jimmy and Jay at Mania? Brother versus brother.
Oh, I missed that because I remember Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy years ago. I missed that shit. So
that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know,
I'll take that.
You know who likes to reuse storylines? WWE.
But I mean, you can reuse a storyline many, many different ways.
That is very true. That is very, very, very true. And it just depends on how they use it. I mean, they could set it up like a Jeff and Matt thing, or they could just go their entire different way. I mean, of course, Jimmy and Jay are two different wrestlers than Matt and Jeff, but
it's going to be interesting. They're not extremely high.
Extremely different.
Extreme high flyers is what I'm.
Yeah. But they could still get up there when need be.
When they need to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
And most importantly, where does this leave Cody? I mean, Roman has LA Knight set in his visions right now. It looks like Jimmy has Jay set in his visions. Does this mean that Cody's going to be stuck in a feud with Solo Sikoa?
Probably, unfortunately.
I mean, it just leads him as like the oddball out, is all I'm thinking.
Right.
I mean, or could we see Cody do like what Roman did and take some time off, be with his wife, kid, and come back a few weeks or maybe a month or two later, and when all these other storylines are done, and then challenges Roman?
Ooh, that's a good question, because
that would seem more logical in my opinion. I mean, Cody, he's just came off, well, not just, but he's had the pec surgery, you know, he's been busting his ass off these last few pay-per-views. Take some time off, come back, then challenge for the WWE Undisputed Championship, you know.
You know what? I'm going to go with that. I'm going to agree with you. That's what he should do. Just to relax, take a step back, look at your options, look at what stories you can bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. And that is that, but gives you a chance to work with creative one-on-one too about how you go, how you should be moving going forward, I guess you should say.
Right.
Next up, we had I just have a little tiny bit of NXT. Not nothing that anybody really, you know, it's just my little two cents.
Not gonna lie, I'm not really a fan of what they're doing with NXT either.
I just have this to say, pay attention to a wrestler that's in NXT. His name is Nathan Frazier. He just recently had a backstage fight with Dominic Mysterio on NXT. Could be setting up the two for the United States Championship, for the NXT United States Championship. The only reason why I say this is because Frazier has worked a few shows in the past at AEW until getting a contract offer from NXT UK, where he wrestled there until WWE decided to do away with it. He's only 25 years old, and guess who he's trained by?
Rey Mysterio.
No, not bad guess, though. Seth Rollins.
Ooh.
So Seth has a member of his Black and Brave school in the WWE. I remember watching his matches in AEW and realizing that he got trained by Seth Rollins and just instantly saying, someone needs to sign this kid. He has the makings of a future champ, and I'm just glad that he's just
getting spotlighted. I will keep my eyes open for him. Absolutely.
He's definitely good. He's definitely good. You can definitely see a lot of Seth in him. He's definitely got that that build too, and it was definitely something that I enjoyed watching him at AEW. And I was actually kind of mad, but I understood, because I figured, you know, he wasn't under contract at that point in time for AEW. He was just making appearances, getting paid by the appearance, and no official contract. I figured WWE was going to sign him either to NXT or something, and sure enough, they did. And good for him, though. I mean, he's getting his right time. Hopefully he gets that North American championship from Dominic.
You know what? I can see Dom losing the title again.
I mean, he's already lost it once. So, I mean, if he does lose it, I mean, I hate to go home. I hate to be him going home.
But hey.
Mommy gonna be pissed. Oh man. And last time we head over to AEW, as yesterday was AEW Dynamite. Oh man, what a dynamite it was, I guess you could say. First match, we had Penta El Cero Miero versus Jay White.
I just had that. I think I just closed that out by accident. I had everything up, and then we were walking through it, and I was closing stuff slowly.
You accidentally closed the wrong browser.
Yeah, I probably did.
Oh, man. But, yeah, before that match even started, as Penta's walking into the ring, Bullet Club Gold attacks Penta. He was able to take out each member with the exception of Jay White, who did a top dive over the rope, taking out Penta before moving action back into the ring. But Penta was smart and seen this and was able to get a quick two count on Jay White. After that, the pace of the match pretty much slowed down. White was trying to take control over a high flyer.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. But it proved at the end of the day that Bullet Club Gold was too much for Penta, as Jay White picked up the win. I already, like I said before, jinxed Rey Fénix about how great of a singles performer he is away from tag team performing. I'm not going to give that kiss of death to Penta. I know he's had his injuries over the past too, so I'm not going to give that KOD to him.
Right.
But I'm just going to say he put on a hell of a match, especially when I kind of liked when Jay White tied Penta's mask to like the ring ropes. That was like the ultimate heel move, because like he didn't want to disrespect him by trying to take off the mask, but he just wanted to disrespect him just enough to be like, hey, gotcha, bitch. So I think that's what I liked about it too. Is
that you literally just. Oh shit, I don't know what I just did. You literally just told me about this seconds ago. About CM Punk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Yeah, we got still a little bit before we can get to that. I know you want to get to that, too, because, you know, you got your opinions. You got your notes on that. I know you do.
I'm always seeing shit on on CM Punk. So,
well, I mean, he's technically the quote unquote hottest free agent at the moment. So, second match of the night, we seen Shida take on her mentor Emi Sakura in a non-title singles match. I'm happy that AEW's been using more of Sakura lately. She used to make her appearances only on like big time pay-per-view events, such as like All In, All Out, things of that nature. And but have her go up against Shida and put her over even more, as someone who mentored her, it just makes it even a better match, in my opinion. Especially with both of them knowing each other's styles. This was, I think, a good way to solidify the champion, but yet give it a feel of the student becomes the teacher type moment.
Right.
It was a solid win for Shida. I hope she gets a little bit bigger storylines, especially with the depleted women's locker room. But like I said, Thunder Rosa, she's returning too soon. So that'd be another main eventer that's coming back that could possibly challenge for the straps. So we'll see how that pans out. And yeah, we'll see if any other women in the locker room will step up and try to get that belt off of her. But I hope if they do decide to bring Thunder Rosa back into the main event picture like that, she never lost the championship. She's how CM get Punk. That shit back. Yeah, well, she was like CM Punk. She never lost it. She had to vacate it. Right. I just hope that she doesn't take CM Punk route and takes the brings her copy of the belt and puts a big ass X or whatever on it. You know?
I mean, I would have done the same thing.
Oh yeah. Following that match, we had probably one of the worst squash matches in history as Wardlow took on the Hollywood hunk Nick Nemeth, which is Dolph Ziggler's younger brother. The match seen Wardlow deliver a single power bomb before the ref called off the match as Nemeth was unable to continue. It just seems to me too, since Wardlow has returned, he's had wrist tape on that has MJF's name on it. And it makes me think that he wants a shot at MJF and that AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Don't get me wrong, I love Wardlow. He's a decent wrestler, bigger guy, lots of strength. But I don't see him as a main eventer. I don't see him. I mean, I know he's had feud with MJF because he was MJF's pretty much bitch boy for the first X amount of years of AEW. But I think he should just go back to the TNT Championship. He's won it before. That belt looks good on him. He's a mid-carder. He's not a main eventer.
Right.
So I think he just needs to compete for that and stop worrying about MJF.
Eventually he'll get to the point where he gets MJF, but right now he's not. So
exactly. I think that in this situation with MJF, I think there's so many other guys in that locker room that would have not only a better chance, but a better storyline in general if they went up against MJF than Wardlow would.
Right. Pepsi.
Our next
CM Punk. Oh, yeah. I told you.
Sponsored by CM Punk. Our next match, we've seen Kenny Omega defeat Kyle Fletcher.
I like Kenny Omega, but I don't watch him enough. I just know his name.
He's good. I mean, since he...
I should watch him more, honestly. I just
a lot of his older stuff is good. Exactly. Yeah, a lot of his older stuff's good. I mean, I'd watch that more than some of the newer stuff. He has had pretty decent matches over the past few years, but definitely his stuff in Japan's a lot better than what his stuff is currently now, in my opinion. Fletcher attacked Omega before he could get into the ring, trying to set some early offense. Omega did a good job at selling all of Fletcher's attacks. We got to remember, too, Fletcher is only about the same age as... about 25, 26 in that area.
Damn.
So he's still young. He's still young. And Omega was selling all of Fletcher's offense, and even letting him set the tone of the match, too, which is not heard by a lot of the veterans. A lot of the veterans like to go in there a certain way, enter the match a certain way. They have it all planned out. This is how they want it to be. For Omega to let a younger talent such as Fletcher control the match and sell all of his moves like that really showcase and really showcasing his skills, that's a win in my book of putting somebody over. I mean, even though Fletcher didn't get the win, that's still putting somebody over in my book. You know, you're still showcasing what they have, and you're showcasing them towards the future. Be like, hey, dude, this guy can get a push, maybe not the AEW World Championship anytime soon, but maybe we'll give him a push and work him with his way up to be a mid-carder and then to be a main eventer. So it's like a long-term investment, if you would. And I just hope for Fletcher going forward that it's kind of not like a action Andrade or Andretti situation, where this action Andretti was like real high on top of the world. His first AEW debut match was against Chris Jericho and he beat him. Then he had a few bangers after that and then essentially left on AEW Dark and other programming that isn't like the main programs, you know. I just hope it doesn't go down that route.
Right.
Because I would just do like what Kenny did and just pretty much fuck it all up. And we had another squash match on Dynamite. Seeing Lance Archer pretty much commit murder on live national television as he quite literally beat the life out of Barrett Brown in a match that was over before it started. I don't know what's been up with AEW lately with all their squash matches, but it's like, I don't like it. I mean, I understand a squash match here or there, especially if you're just returning from injury and you want to get that one win under your belt to build your confidence back up. But to have it like four squash matches within the last two of your big time production television shows, I don't like it. Because you're taking away TV's time away from a promo that could be a guy's legendary or one of the persons in the locker room's legendary promo that sets him over, or it could add more time to a match. You know, you're just taking these 2-3 minute squash matches like they're freaking nothing, and it's like it pisses me off.
You could at least build something up with them.
Exactly, and it's like with the squash matches, like I said, you could took that squash match or one of the squash matches and been like, hey, we're going to cut this squash match. We're going to extend this match by this many minutes. And we're going to extend this promo by this amount of more minutes.
Yes, absolutely.
That way you cut that match right in half and each thing gets equal time added on to it. But that's just my opinion. I guess that's why we're the marks on the internet and we give our opinions and we don't get paid. But we also had some heartbreaking news on this episode of Dynamite. We've seen Sting do something that all of us kids who grew up in the 90s, who watched WCW religiously like myself, thought we would never see in a million years.
I knew it was coming, but...
I know, but you don't want to believe it. The 64-year-old announced he will be winding down his career and said that AEW Revolution in the spring of 2024 will be his last event.
I don't think it's going to be.
Dude, he's 64!
Look at Ric Flair. Look at Ric Flair's old ass. He's still trying to get back in the ring.
Ric Flair almost died his last match in the ring.
Ric Flair wants to get back in the ring. He's like 92, right?
No, dude, he's like late 70s.
He's probably gonna go take his retirement and enjoy life now.
Yeah, I think Sting's more like that guy. I mean, I honestly could say that I never thought I'd see the day that the Stinger finally retired for good. I remember from being Surfer Sting to the Crow Sting to the Red and Black Face.
I love the Crow Sting. That was so sick.
To the Joker Sting and TNA, to just being Steve Borden. Thank you, Sting, for a lifetime of memories. A true class act in the industry.
For real.
Enjoy that retirement, man. And moving on from that sad news, the main event of Dynamite. Seeing Juice Robinson accomplish what he said he would do Saturday at Collision and that was get one step closer to winning MJF's Dynamite Diamond Ring as he won the AEW Dynamite Dozen Battle Royale. Do you see Juice Robinson?
There's a Dynamite Ring?
Yeah, it's an actual like ring, like an actual diamond ring. Yeah,
I need it.
Well, I mean, you got time. I mean, the match doesn't start until next week, so you got some training you can
don't do before then. I'll go steal this belt. I'll go steal the ring. I'll go steal every. I'll go steal the hearts and the souls.
But do you see Juice Robinson beating MJF next week for that ring?
No.
If he does, it'll be the first time that someone other than MJF has won that ring. MJF would be the four-time champion of that ring.
I can't see it happening, but there's always that chance of, oh shit, well, it's gonna happen.
Not just that, but you also gotta look at it too. MJF, he's like the modern day Eddie Guerrero to try to win a championship. He'll do anything possible. Could we see possibly Wardlow interfering and costing MJF that dynamite ring, especially since Wardlow wants a shot at him, essentially.
Right.
And especially since MJF already, as it is, has a lot on his plate. Mm-hmm. Not only does he have the Dynamite Diamond Ring, he has the AEW World Championship, and he also has the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship still. So, I mean, he's got a lot. So, I mean, he's going to have to drop something eventually. And I think it's got to start with that ring. I think Juice Robinson's going to win that, and then it's going to go from there. We're going to finish off this show with a little bit of news around the wrestling world. NWA has a television contract.
I'm just kidding.
Billy Corgan, yes, that Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins, announced last week that NWA wants a TV deal with a top 20 network. Well, he got his wish, as a 19th top network offered him a TV deal yesterday. That network, the CW. Doesn't like CW show like previous week tapings of like Ring of Honor?
I don't know.
I mean, I know some of them do. I mean, I just probably just depends on where you live. But if you ask me, if you want a demographic of teens who likes to watch reruns of Riverdale, Supernatural, and Gossip Girl, then you got your right targeted audience.
You know what? I like Riverdale. That was a pretty.
Well,
it was a different show.
I mean, I've heard decent reviews on it. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to start watching it. I mean, I know it's over with now, but I mean, the reruns.
It was a different show for sure.
Will you be tuning in to see NWA on CW?
Possibly. I'm not going to go out of my way and watch it, but if I'm watching TV and it's sitting there, oh yeah, I'll give it a
look. Especially if they have like, you know, a decent match or something, you're like, hey, I'd recognize that guy. Let me hop on for a few minutes, and then if it's shit, like, nope, changing it.
Yep.
But yeah, I think, you know, NWA getting a television contract is actually pretty huge, especially with their loss of Nick Aldis right there. Their NWA champion right now is EC3. So
EC3 can just go somewhere else. I know, I remember that name, and I wasn't a fan of him then, and I'm not a fan of him now. So
I mean, he's already been at Impact. He's already been at WWE. I mean, this is his last possible stop before he hits AEW or Ring of Honor.
Oh, please don't go to AEW. We don't want you here.
Or Ring of Honor, because Ring of Honor cross promotes with AEW because Tony Khan owns both of them. So, it is also. This is the time that you've been waiting for, Tyler. We got it.
I'm gonna be out there here in a few minutes, okay?
It's time for our weekly dose of CM Punk.
No. Jeez, say that again. I'm sorry, bud.
It's gonna be our weekly dose of CM Punk news. It is being reported that CM Punk has had a contract offered to him by Impact Wrestling. We currently don't have enough reliable resources to confirm or deny the reports.
Well, I just sent that one to you a little bit ago.
Oh, right. Let me fact check this right here. Let me see.
That's what I do when we're talking. I'm always sending shit to you.
All right. We are developing this story as we speak, it looks like. But yeah, so as soon as this loads up, if it will, hopefully. Well, it's not wanting to load right now.
All right. Well, give me 1 second here, and I will pull it back up.
So yeah, but yeah, it seems like every week we have something different when it comes to CM Punk.
Oh, it's not really. It's just saying it is being reported numerous wrestling sites that you could see CM Punk at Impact Wrestling.
Oh, yes. Oh, yep.
With
yep,
the pretty news much that what WWE does not want him, and Bound for Glory, it being held in Chicago, is reporting exactly. You may see him.
Yep, that's what I have right here.
If he goes to Impact, I don't like the program, so.
I have it saying that Cultaholic says that Fightful's Sean Rass Sapp tweeted that Impact would welcome CM Punk. Another source, Abuyu of Wrestling Purist, responded, they reached out to him. They threw an offer out there. We know that Survivor Series is in Chicago in December, but an event in Chicago, like you said, is closer, would be this weekend, Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory. Do you see Punk signing with Impact, or do you still believe that he's headed to WWE?
I think WWE. I think they're just going to make it a silent return, and then he's going to come back with a swing.
I mean, either way, he's going to debut in Chicago. So, I mean, either it's going to be Survivor Series, it's going to be Bound for Glory. I know I just took a recent look at that Bound for Glory card not too long ago, and it seems to be pretty stacked. So, I mean, if Impact does bring him back, that's the show to bring him back at.
This is very true.
And I think that is all we have for you guys this week, Jobber Nation. Got anything to add, Face?
Nah, man. It's been a long hell of a week. A lot of wrestling going on, a lot of stuff going on.
Exactly, it has been, but we got through it again. We'll get through next week, and hopefully,
good thing we don't do 3-hour shows. Holy crap!
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because we'd have another hour and a half to talk about.
Oh my god, I would be driven crazy if I was
exactly
3 hours.
But Jobber Nation, don't forget to go to w.gg and use Nation 2023 at checkout to save 10% off of your order. Also, all of our socials will be in the description below.
I actually have something for you off show. I'm thinking about, let's just keep it off the show for now. And
all right, we got some surprises working. We got some surprises working in the background, Jobber Nation. So keep tuned for those, whatever that might be. And we will see you all next week. Peace.